Hello and welcome to In Ink We Trust, Tattoo and Art Culture in San Fernando Valley, the latest of who is making a mark in the Valley tattoo scene, bringing the tattoo parlor to you. I'm your host, Anthony Sanchez. Today we are going to talk to guests from Oak and Poppy in Woodland Hills. We have Sean Roth, who is a body piercer, and Eric Evans, who is a tattoo artist. Thanks for coming by the studio today, guys.
Hello, hello.
Thank you.
All right.
Good to be here.
Great. Well, Sean and Eric are also the co-owners of Oak and Poppy and celebrating its third year in Woodland Hills. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So I'll begin with Sean. Who, what's it like to stab people for a living?
Initially, it was cathartic, but now I feel bad when I hurt people. It's a good job. It's a fun job. I enjoy it. I meet people all day long. Most of my clients are women. They're very easy to deal with, very easy to work with. I like it. I'm with people 10 to 15 minutes. It's not long term. I get to have a nice interaction, and then I'm on to the next person.
Nice.
And yeah, it's been fun. I've been doing it for almost 20 years now.
Cool. All right. So, Eric, do you think tattoos are taboo or mainstream? Think we've gone mainstream yet with tattoos?
Oh, they're still both. Depends on your belief system.
So what's an example of a belief system that you think might be one or the other?
Like a taboo, like say, if they say you can't be buried in a cemetery, don't get tattooed, or certain markings that your family doesn't want. So it's like considered taboo. But other than that, it's mainstream. Other people don't care.
Right.
They just do what they want.
Especially here in LA nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's like nothing.
I'm sure a lot of students here have facial tattoos, right?
I have not noticed yet.
I'm seeing a lot of young people with facial tattoos. It doesn't even shock me anymore.
I feel like I'm going to have to change this show to facial tattoos. Like, it comes up. It's like the thing right now.
SoundCloud tattoos.
All the rappers got them.
SoundCloud rappers. I don't know all the trap rappers. I know 69 is one of them that's really super famous for it.
Jeez. That guy's head. Ugh.
Yeah.
Sorry, 69.
I think he's in jail now, so it's probably...
Yeah, it makes sense.
So a question for either of you. How do you think your shop continues the tradition of body modification?
Eric?
Well, we continue the tradition by doing it every single day the best way we can and keep perfecting our craft.
Tradition. I think I'm confused by the question.
Well, it's been around for thousands of years.
Yep. Things have changed. Things are much more sterile. We're not using sticks and mud. Mm-hmm. So that's that's good. So we've like extrapolated upon the ancient knowledge.
So is that not tradition?
It's like there's elements of the tradition.
maybe a good, better question. More pointed question is, like, who trained you? Was there somebody that had been doing piercing, for example, for you, Sean, for years?
Yeah. It's a sensitive subject.
Oh. Getting poked is a sensitive subject.
No, like
yes.
the how I got here and who I learned from and where I'm at now. But yes, I did learn from somebody. He was like a mentor when I was growing up.
Should we save that for Oprah or something?
Yeah, maybe.
Kind of like put a word in, like...
Yeah,
we got a juicy one here.
He's I was taught by a person.
Okay.
And I don't know, we no longer speak, but it was a long time ago, and I learned from him, and he learned from, I don't even know, but he was, I think, in the BDSM scene in the early 90s, and that was where a gay culture and BDSM culture is like where it kind of originated, and he was a part of that world, and he learned the trade, and then he opened a studio, and then I was just a guy hanging out, and then I learned through him.
Okay.
And I've taught people since.
Nice.
So yeah, that's how I...
So that's how it's kind of carried on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what about for you, Eric? Who did you study under? Who was your sensei, if you will?
I would also say another sensitive subject. Some of those things you just move forward.
Okay.
You know? I've been in the industry, you know.
The guy who taught him was way worse than the guy that taught me.
Yes. Yes. He's terrible. No one wants to know him.
Okay. Yeah.
The guy who taught me, people like want to know him. He's decent on the social level.
Oh, yeah. I'm not trying to get any, as we say,
this guy's
spent.
Like a gremlin. We'll suck your soul.
I've seen that movie Troll that was like,
yeah,
like when we were kids, all I think.
Right. Well, I don't want you guys to get sued, so we're going to move on.
Or like the Ernest Scared Stupid.
Yeah.
Oh.
He looked like one of those little trolls.
Nice. We're going to have links to all these references. The youngins are like, what? So Sean, you got started by just hanging out in the shop then?
Yeah. I didn't want a real job.
You didn't want a real job?
What happened was I took a psychedelic, and I didn't want to go down the traditional path. I didn't want a real job, so I hung out with artists in the tattoo and piercing world, and it felt right. I played music at the time, and, you know, things just kind of unfolded, and I learned how to do it and kept doing it. And I also went to college when I was doing it because I didn't think I would eventually do what I do right now forever. It didn't feel like a viable option for me, but it ended up being a very good decision, a very viable option, because now Eric and I own our own business.
Right. And how did you two meet each other? Eric.
Through the industry.
Did the industry.
The guy who was teaching me tattooed him.
And the guy who was teaching him and tattooed me worked for the guy that taught me.
Okay. Interesting.
And then so we like just kind of grew up.
Yeah, we've known each other for a long time.
Kind of like,
years.
Like a brotherly.
Yeah, we're brothers.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Right. And when did you two decide to open your own shop?
I think it was like a lot of years in the making. And then just when the right opportunity came up, we just, you know, took advantage of it.
Yeah. We were comfortable in the situation that we were in. We always wanted to do it. And then I decided to quit. And I found a spot 3 days after I quit. It wasn't planned. It just kind of serendipitously came about. And I talked to Eric. We went to the spot. And then we had one of those, like, Kevin Costner moments in Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
It was like truly a kind of almost a mystical type of experience where you just knew things were in alignment. And when we felt that, we knew what we needed to do. That was the kind of experience.
All right. Cool, Sean. So what's the story behind the name of Oak and Poppy?
That's Eric's department.
Eric.
Mm-hmm. The name is quite simple. We didn't want something that was, you know, a generic tattoo shop, et cetera. And I pretty much... We just came up with a name to represent the valley in California. So like the oak trees and the California poppy. That was it.
We're off Oakdale.
Yeah.
In Woodland Hills.
Is that off Oakdale?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I always remember. Ventura.
Like the style and everything with our reclaimed wood and all that. It just kind of like came together. It's perfect.
So for those that don't know yet, you go in the store. It's a very fragrant. It's probably the most fragrant tattoo shop I've seen so far.
Yeah.
What do you know? Is that from the oak that's on the walls there? Or is there something, a secret, trade secret we can't tell?
Some from the wood, but we got some secrets.
Okay, nice.
We definitely got some secrets.
I bet you
guys
do.
It's like going to Disneyland, you know, there's that, the idea that they spray something in the air.
Yeah.
You know, that makes people happy.
Yes.
We had the same thing. Yeah, our old boss said you got to give them a Disneyland experience, and that's what we did.
We did it, man.
We listened.
Hope you're hearing that. Thank you.
Well, what's the hardest part about starting a shop?
Well, Eric and I, from a business partnership, Eric and I were very close friends, but our friendship also had a shift into. Like a business partnership. So there was a transition there, I think, where we had to kind of like assimilate and kind of acclimate to a new type of dynamic. So that was a little challenging at first, would you say? And there's a lot of trust involved. You know, our money's tied in together. We're putting everything on the line. There is a huge risk. There's other people coming on board, and we want to make sure we could create a space that could be supportive for them and where they could survive. So there's a lot of elements, you know, that could be scary. I didn't have doubt that we'd be successful. I believed in it. But it still doesn't mean it was an easy thing to do at all. It was a hard decision to make, but once we made it, we hit the ground running.
Yeah, just kept going.
And when do you have a sense that it might be a successful business? Because I'm sure there's a lot of doubt when you first start. something, any business, any venture like that.
The second we walked into the spot, we knew. No doubts. That's why we put our all into it.
Yeah, we did.
You have to.
And we didn't stop. Like, when we went into that space, if the space asked us, I know it sounds a little woo-woo, but when we were designing it, if we had an idea and we said, this is, we have to put a brick case here, we just did it. We didn't worry about what it would cost. We believed that if we put the money and time into the space and the effort and made it look the best we possibly could, it would pay off in the end. And it absolutely did. We did not hold back. You know, we didn't try to like pinch pennies. We just put everything we could into the thing, and now we're 3 years in and we're thriving.
Right. Mm-hmm. It seems to have, when I've been in there, you guys have a little village going on in there. Every time I step in there, there's somebody different at the front, and in a good positive way, you guys seem to have a certain vibe there. So it sounds like you guys didn't have like an interior designer or any kind of consultant. You kind of just...
No, we were. Yeah. We were right. Interior designers.
Pinterest. Well, you know, we got influenced. You know, we looked went to restaurants. We went to museums. We went to places like Beverly Hills, certain like designer stores, architecture. We try to get elements from a bunch of different sources, and we didn't want to look like a typical tattoo and piercing studio. We wanted to have elements there, which we do. When you walk in, you can see like flash tattoo sheets on the wall, you know, so we have elements there, but we also wanted to come off deviating from the norm.
Is the flash art by the artists that are there?
A good portion, yeah.
Most of it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. So, Sean, what's the hardest part of the body to pierce?
Nowadays, because of the shop that we have and our clientele, we're primarily doing ear piercings. I don't really do much independent of that. Sometimes nostrils, often, but in the past, probably genital piercings. I don't personally do them anymore. I don't need the money, but we have people there that do, so they'll be happy to do them for you. Donnie is one of our female genital piercers. So if you need your penis pierced, I could say that.
Yes, you can.
Our clitoral hood pierced, see Donnie.
He'll be happy to help, huh?
No, not in that environment. It's all contextual, you know?
Contextual, yeah. You know, love what you do. Eric, why don't you tell me about what tattoo styles you like to do yourself, or what have you been into so far with your style?
I like to do a lot of custom, you know, stuff like illustrative or Japanese, American traditional, things like that, where I can just play a little bit more with. I used to do a little bit other styles, like some realism, but I find for me doesn't hold up as much as I would like in my experience, so I stick with just kind of like, you know, the traditional vibe of it.
Has that, as shop owners, become important in finding the other people who are in your shop? You know, you're saying Donnie's doing the thing that you're, and then maybe for you, maybe you someone doing black and gray, somebody doing geometric. I understand.
We do have a little bit of different flavors, but I think we like to have people a little bit more on the same track, just so like when our clients come to see us, there's like a continuity with our work. And that way, like, if I'm too busy, I could pass on some of my clients to other people that are available, and then like the, you know, the work kind of like mirrors it a little bit. So we're a little bit more of like a cohesive team versus like, you know, outliers, which I like.
What do you look for when you're deciding, I'm going to take this person on in my shop and train them? Because it sounds like maybe you have some people that already been established.
First, like, I would say like personality is a huge thing. It's very difficult bringing in some of these people that are in this industry.
Yeah. And it's a community. It's tight-knit. It's a system. So if you bring somebody in the system and they're not vibing well, it could really throw the homeostasis off. You want to make sure things are in balance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of personality disorders out there.
A lot.
I'm a recovering personality disorder sufferer. But now I'm well adjusted. But no one's putting the work in.
I'm still suffering.
But in all honesty, a lot of people get in this industry because they think you're not operating on the grid. You know, you're deviating, you're off of it. But the reality is you're dealing with the general public. You're in the service industry. You have to help people. You have to accommodate people. It's hard. You're dealing with people all day long. You're modifying their bodies. There's a lot of expectations, and it's a lot of work. So it's probably not the best industry for personality disorders, unless you want to sit in the corner and just doodle all day. But, you know, you have to interact with the world.
Yeah, that'll make or break anyone, right?
Yeah. And a lot of people in this industry, I think, lack in customer service. And we tried our best to just be kind to everyone that walks into the door and accommodating and understanding.
Great. I know that, Sean, you do some artwork as well. You do some doodles. Why don't you tell us a little bit about...
Definitely. How'd you know about that?
It's my job to be a stalker now.
I am a doodler. I've been drawing my whole life. It's not something I wanted to make a career out of. For me, it's very personal and cathartic. I love it. It's sacred to me. So, and I still do it to this day. There's been times where I maybe stopped for a little while, but of late I've been drawing consistently for a very long time. So for me, it's like a very personal kind of cathartic, released form of expressing myself. I feel very fortunate that I could do it. I really enjoy that space and that creative kind of flow state a lot.
And Eric, what kind of styles do you do of art besides your tattoo art?
A lot of it is just the tattoo art.
Is it?
Yeah, because we have to do a lot of studying and research and preparation for our appointments coming up. So a lot of times, like, those are like the behind the scenes. Like when we're tattooing people, that's like one element. But then like later, you know, when the clients aren't there, when artists aren't getting paid, we have to actually prepare for everyone. And it could take hours. So it's very difficult to set aside time for your personal artwork and, you know, to express yourself in that fashion. So you got to try to learn how to do it in the artwork you're preparing for other people.
What are some resources you go to when you have to research for a tattoo?
Well, Instagram these days is one of the easiest things. You just pop it up, and then there's like thousands of, you know, tattooers if you want inspiration from that. I gather inspiration from different things, like retro, sci-fi kind of like art and, you know, different artists and painters and stuff like that.
Are there any tattoo artists in the past that you've kind of admired and aspired towards?
Yeah, there's tons of them. There's a lot.
Any names that you're allowed to mention or bad for business?
Yeah. One of the guys who tattoos me, his name is Graham. He's in San Francisco at Seventh Son. You know, I admire his work a lot. There's a lot of it on me. And there's tons of other people out there. We could sit here all day.
Do you have a favorite tattoo?
No.
No. They're all, you love all your children.
We have tattoos that aren't our favorite.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, let me hear about that, Sean. What do you have a tattoo that's not your favorite?
They're from the guy who taught me how to tattoo.
That I got tattooed by. But also, you know, if we didn't do that, we didn't take those steps, we wouldn't be where we're at today.
Yeah.
Nice. So, you know what? I have a messed up tattoo on my left arm. And
thank you.
I guess at the end of the day, it's all worth it. I can always laser it, right?
What about a cover-up? I've seen a lot of people doing a lot of cover-ups these days.
No, this is not getting covered up.
Oh. No.
Too many memories, it sounds like.
I mean, it would look terrible. It would look like the bleep word that comes out of the butt.
It'll look like poop emoji. We could say poop emoji.
Yeah.
Let's see. So how do you balance being both shop owners and your personal life?
I think
without getting too TMZ on it.
I think I've just fully integrated it.
Yeah, it's an integration. When you own a business like that, it is your life. I mean, you have times where you could separate, but I mean, in May, some guy was driving drunk and his part of his tire or wheel went through our window, and we had to get there at 3 o'clock in the morning and hang out until like six to handle the situation. You know, if the shop need something, if you're gonna have to discuss something, we have to do it.
Yeah, we have to be available. Our shop is open every single day, pretty much.
Right.
Every, you know, besides like the major holidays, we're always open.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, shops were only not, there were some days they would be closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're closed this Sunday, by the way.
Oh, yeah. What's the holiday?
Our 3-year anniversary party.
Oh.
We're taking the gang out to do things.
Okay. Yeah. You don't want any of the, your Instagram, people showing up at your party. So let's not disclose.
You're not invited. We love you. But you're not invited. Thank you.
Sean, what does it mean for the public to know that you're a member of the Association of Professional Piercers, which is a mouthful?
That's a very good question. It means that we uphold a certain standard, an industry standard that this organization deems like the highest level one could aspire to in terms of sterilization, quality of jewelry, the way the shop is laid out and designed. A lot of shops, from what I understand, aren't a part of this organization, at least in Los Angeles. There are definitely other shops. But I'm a member. Donnie's a member. So is Carrie. So it's not that the shop is an APP shop. It's that the shop has members that are a part of the Association of Professional Piercers. But the shop has to meet certain codes. For example, there has to be a sink inside this every station. It has to be an enclosed space. You have to have something called a statin that sterilizes all the jewelry. The jewelry has to be implant-grade materials or 14-karat gold. So we have to just follow all these rules. And if you do, the organization allows you membership. And we've followed all the rules, and I think we followed them well.
Right. So, Eric, where do you see yourself in the future? With this, and it could be for both of you as well. Where do you see the shop? Where do you see your work? 10
years from
now.
Oak and Poppies.
Poppies.
Plural.
Poppies.
Franchise.
Poppies.
Is that a thing? Are you guys going to break ground on that?
Well, the problem with the franchising, it's you have to have good people working for you. And it's not something that you could really just come by, It's not an easy trade to learn. And if you want to provide quality, you have to have people who've been doing this a long time. It's not like Blue Bottle where you can just train people to press buttons and brew coffee. You can have hundreds of them. Unfortunately, it's just not like that. Or even like Floyd's or something with hair styling and cutting. You have to do this for many, many, many years if you want to provide good quality work for the public. So there will be poppies, but it's going to be a slow process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Do it right. Maybe there'll be two or three.
You have to comb through the personality disorders.
Remind us where we can find you.
We're at 19837 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills in between Corbin and Winneka on the north side of the street. We're called Oak and Poppy.
And you guys are also on Instagram at The Oak and Poppy.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys can check out the shop there. Again, they're at Oak and Poppy. For more info, you can go to kpcradio.com, and you can also follow this show for more info at IN1NK We Trust. Coming up on the next show, thank you guys again.
Thank you. I'm sad it's over.
Coming up on the next show, we have guests from the Needle Pushers and Van Nuys, and I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Anthony Sanchez. I hope you join me next week.